On Kufches Amud Aleph, we have the Sugya of Rav. And this you'll see after the Gemara starts, about 5-6 lines down, Amar Rav. Now, just by way of introduction, Rav is going to address two different issues. One issue is what we call Chaticha Nasis Nevela, and the other issue is a Taromis of Min Bemino. So let's go one by one. We'll start with the first one. Amar Rav, Kevin Shenasan Tam Bechaticha, Chaticha Atzma Nases Nevela. What Rav is saying is that once the Tipas Chola falls on that Chaticha above the Rotev, and now it penetrates throughout that Chaticha, and there's no Shishim in the Chaticha to be mevatel that Tipas Cholov. So it means that the Tipas Cholov gives tam into the basar. So you now have a piece of meat that has a tam of Cholov in it. That's basar v'cholov. Now, Rav says you can look at it in one of two ways. He's going to reject one and accept the other. One way of looking at it is that this basar is also because it's holding on to tam, a tipa of cholov. The other way is to say it, no, that every single fiber, so to speak, in the chaticha becomes osur because now we have a basar cholov. And Rav chooses the latter. It's not that the basar is holding on to a tipas cholov, but rather the basar itself becomes a chefta di surah. It's osur in and of itself. That's called Chaticha Atzma Naseis Nevela.
I don't understand the nafkamina between the two.
That was going to be my next sentence. Oh, so what is the nafkamina? There's a tremendous nafkamina. Why? Because what happens if this Chaticha that received the Tam of Cholov, that Tipas Cholov that fell on it, now gets mixed up in a hot Taroves, meaning there's a Kedera that's Rosachas, it's boiling hot, with other Chatichos. Now, if you want to set up bittul, what are we trying to be mevatel? Are we trying to mevatel the original tipas cholov that fell on the first chaticha, or are we trying to mevatel the chaticha that became asura as a result of the tipas cholov? If we go with the first approach, which Rav rejects, namely that the tipas cholov is being carried by the chaticha el yona, we'll call the first chaticha carrier, you know, like in medical terms, you know, it's carrying certain germs. This chaticha is carrying cholov in it. Then, when this chaticha gets mixed into a taromis with other pieces of meat, all you need is shishim against that tipas cholov, because the iser is really in the tipas cholov. If we can somehow get rid of the tipas cholov, then everything becomes mutter. If, on the other hand, we go with Rav's approach, which is the second approach, that the chaticha itself becomes a chefta di sura, and every fiber therein is basar v'cholov, then I need shishim in the second taromis against the entire piece of meat. That's a tremendous nafkamina, because in all likelihood we'll be able to construct shishim against the tipas cholov if we include the entire kedera and all the chatichos therein. But if, on the other hand, we have to be mevatel the chaticha itself, then you're going to need 60 pieces the size of that chaticha in order to be mevatel that chaticha. And Rav tells us that when this first chaticha receives the tam of basar, it becomes, in Yiddish we would say, a shtik nevela. It becomes a piece of nevela, cheftza nevela, in such a way that now I'm going to need shishim against that chaticha. And that's why Rav adds the next three words, chaticha asmanas nevela. He says, v'yoseres kol chatichos. Kulon, four words. V'yoseres kol chatichos kulon. Now, when Rav says Oseres kol chatichos kulon, we could raise the following question. Does Rav assume that there's no shishim in the balance of this kedera, keneged that chaticha? That seems to be his assumption. You have a piece of meat here that became basar b'cholov. Imagine if that piece of meat was nevela. It's hard to believe, although it is possible, that there would be 60 times the volume of that piece of nevela in the balance of the kedera. So if we assume that there are no shishim, we begin to understand what kol chatichos kulon means. But this leads us to the second half of Rav. And as I said at the outset, Rav addresses two issues. The second issue is what's called the Taroves of Min Bimino. And we're going to read the following words of Rav. Kulon, which I'll explain in a minute. Mipnei Shehein Mina. Kulon means, forget about how many chatichos there are in the Kedera. I don't care if there are 1,000 chatichos in the Kedera. They're all asuros. And why are they all asuros? Mipnei Shehein Mina. And this is the second breakthrough, so to speak, or revolution of Rav, in which Rav accepts the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. You know, Rav is an Amora. Rabbi Yehuda is a Tana. Now, Rabbi Yehuda has a machlokas with the Chachamim about a taromas of Min Bimino. According to the Chachamim, Min Bimino is Batel Berov. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Min Bimino is never Batel, even if you have 1,000 pieces of heter. And this machlokas is codified in many, many different sugyas in Shas, mostly in Masechta Avodah Zorah with regard to Yayin Nesech, but it also appears in Zvachim and in other places in Shas. And we have a principle that in a machlokas between a Yochid and Rabim, Halacha Kerabim. So therefore we would assume up front that we pass like the Chachamim, that Min Bimino is Batel Berov. Comes along Rav and he says, no, I'm going to accept the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, not because Rabbi Yehuda said it, but because I agree with it. And Rav thinks that the logic of Rabbi Yehuda is so convincing and so compelling that we have to accept that shita. Now, on the side, I just want to point out, there's going to be a gigantic machlokas. We showed him, do we accept Rav, which means we accept Rabbi Yehuda, which means that Min Bimino is Lo Batel. Now, why do we look at this case as Min Bimino? The answer is because Chaticha Nasis Nevelo. Certainly the Cholov and the Basar is Min Bisheino Mino. Those are two different categories of objects, of foodstuff. There's one thing called a liquid, which is milk, and the other is a solid, which is basar. That's min b'sheino mino. But Rav has already established in his first point that chaticha atzma nasis nevela, which means that the piece of meat that received the tam of basar became basar m'chalav like nevela. It's a chefta di surah. If it's a chefta di surah, then when it gets mixed in with other chatichos, then we have a taromas of min bimino. So basically, what you have here is a piggyback. You have A, and then B stands on the shoulders of A. A is this breakthrough called chaticha nasis nevela, which means that the top chaticha is not asura because it's carrying, as we called it, a carrier of cholov, but rather it's also in and of itself as a chefta di surah. That's called chaticha nasis nevela. That's A. Now on top of that, we have B. Once you've defined that chaticha as a chefta di surah, now it's like a shtik nevela, and when a piece of nevela gets mixed up with basa shchuta, with shechted meat, it's min bimino, and Rav holds in his second chiddush that we accept the shita Rabbi Yehuda, that min bimino is never batel. Now, another word for that, just if you want to get the terminology in Shas, is min bimino oser bimashu. Mashu means that even if you have the smallest amount of isur, if it's a mixture of min bimino, that's enough to asa the entire taromas. Everything becomes awesome. And it would seem, and we're going to have a long discussion about this later, that this would be a doraisa halacha, that the Torah doesn't recognize bittul in the case of min bimino. And the logic of it is because bittul means you have a hisnagdus, you have two things that conflict one with the other. Like, for example, we once spoke about the fact that heter beheter lo batel, there's no bittul in heter beheter. And the classic case would be kelayim, when you mix wool and linen together, it doesn't matter what the ratios are, even one thread of pishtan in an entire gigantic beged of tzemer would be awesome. Why? Because there's no bittul in heter beheter. You know, tzemer is mutter and pishtan is mutter. We don't have that conflict. The conflict that generates bittul is the conflict of isur v'heter. That we know. What Rav is doing is he's applying a similar kind of logic, I'm not equating the two, to a case of a taromas min bimino. Everything tastes the same. So what's the point of bittul? Bittul means that the tav is lost. For example, let's say I would give this mixture over to a kfeil, a non-Jewish chef, and I would ask him to taste it. He's not going to taste any difference between nevela and shchuta, which is basar and basar min bimino. It's the exact identical taste. You send it to a laboratory, the laboratory cannot know whether this animal died a natural death or it was shechted. It's the same time. And if it's the same time, how can you talk about bittul? For example, in our case, we have basar b'chalav, where the basar itself became a chefzer di sura. Now basar b'chalav is like nevela. So if this basar gets mixed in with other basar, where's the bittul over here? The time is the identical time. And the original case of min b'mino is a sugya masecht zvachim. The Torah commands the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim to take two dams. There's dam ha-so'ir and dam ha-par, two different karbonos, and mix them together, and then do a zrika with this mixture. So the question is, when he mixes it in a mizrak, in a receptacle, then there should be some din of bittul. Let's take a look and see which dam is rov and which dam is mute. And if one dam, let's say the dam hapar, would be more a greater volume than the dam asoyer, then in effect the dam asoyer is completely bottled, so he wasn't mekayim the din of zrika and the dam asoyer. How can the Torah say that he was mekayim both the zrika of the soyer and the zrika of the par when the two dams are mixed together and therefore there should be bittul? Says Rabbi Yehuda, you see from this that min b'mino, dam b'dam, is not bottled. And this is a tremendous nafkamina in Maseth Avodah Zarah with regard to Yayin Nesach. If Yayin Nesach gets mixed up with Yayin Shel Heter, this is a case where Rabbi Yehuda is going to apply his principle of min b'mino, lo batel, which means it's also b'mashu. And the same halacha, says Rav, is going to apply here in the case of chaticha nasas nevela. Because once that upper chaticha that received the chalav is nevela, then we have a case here in which basar gets mixed in with basar, and even b'mashu it's asur, and it's never going to be but. Now here at Mosai, we get to a very, very profound discussion. And now's where we start the shiur for today, so to speak.
Very profound.
7:30. What is exactly the case of Rav? What do I mean? Clearly, Rav is maintaining that when the tipa fell on the upper chaticha, and let's assume that the ratio between the tipas cholav and the upper chaticha is less than shishim, and that's what the Mishnah calls yesh ba b'no same time. So that chaticha, that top piece of meat, received the time of cholav. And it's saturated, so to speak, with cholav, with the tab of cholav. Hence, it becomes basar b'chalav. That's let's say time T1, we'll call it. What happens now? Rav says that when this chaticha has an impact on other chatichos in the same kedera, then we apply the principle of min b'mino afilu b'elef lo batel. How did that happen? Does it happen A, automatically, I'll explain, or B, does it happen as a result of an action, an intervention, a human intervention? This is what we call niyar. Human intervention means that after the tipas cholav fell on the upper chaticha and now penetrated, saturated throughout that chaticha, then niyar. What does niyar mean? He mixed it together. So the act of mixing it now brings the upper chaticha that received the top of the tipas cholav into conjunction, into relationship with the rest of the chatichas that are in the kedera. That's one way of interpreting Agamara. And we'll go through the different shitos in just a minute. The other way of interpreting Agamara is to say no, even without nira, once the chaticha is sitting on the top of this kedera, it's all the pieces of meat, together with that top chaticha, are in conjunction, are in relationship, they're all in the same kedera, they're being cooked by the fire that's underneath them. I don't need an active niyar. Rav is going to say that automatically, that top chaticha now has an impact on all the other chatichos, by virtue of the fact that they're all cooking in the same pot, and therefore, min b'mino, lo batel. So let me just read to you, and again, don't ask me questions until we get a little bit more of the facts on the ground. The Ramban is of the opinion that Rav is talking af below Niyar. Even if there was no act of Niyar, says the Ramban, Rav would apply the principle of min bimino lo bottle. And this chaticha now generates an iser with regard to all the other chatichas. And it's not just the Ramban, it's also the Rashba, and it's also the Ran. However, listen to this. The Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashba, and the Ran, they go on and say that that's also the opinion of Rashi. Because according to Rashi, what is this situation, the scenario of this top chaticha? How would you describe it?
It's above the...
It's half above and half below, correct? So the bottom half of this chaticha is under the rotev line. It's in the rotev. Once it's in the rotev, the bottom half of the chaticha is going to be a conduit to bring the tam of the top half of the chaticha into the kedera and have it spread throughout all the chatichos within the kedera. So therefore, the Rashba says that according to Rashi, if the top chaticha was completely chutz l'rotev, then Rashi would say you need niyar. But since Rashi is interpreting our Mishnah as a case where the top chaticha is partially outside of the rotev, but partially submerged in the rotev, therefore came in the mikzas ha-chaticha ha-neseres, meaning the top chaticha shkua b'rotev, is submerged in rotev, is derech ha-rotev over ha-iser el-kol ha-kedera. The rotev now becomes the medium, the conduit, to bring the tam of the basar into the entire kedera. I don't need an act of niyar. That is one school of thought. We're going to soon see that Tosus has a different school of thought. Tosus and many other Rishonim. And what Rav is talking about is niyar. Because keep in mind that what Tosus is trying to accomplish is that even though the top chaticha is completely outside the rotev, if you do an act of niyar, it's going to cause the top chaticha to be mixed up with all the other chatichos, and now that chaticha is going to generate an iser in the other chatichos. So let me just read to you one paragraph here, the name of the Taz. As you know, the Taz was a super commentary on Shulchan Aruch, especially in Yoredeya. He lived 4.5 centuries ago. For who Piresh Bedas Rashi, he understood in Rashi's opinion, Shemidubar and our Mishnah Rak Chetzia Barotev, half of the bottom half of the Chatichas in the Rotev, Ubazeh Bilvad, and that alone, Oseres, the top Chaticha, Oseres Kol HaChatichos below Niyar. Aval kishakula chutz l'rotev, but Rashi would hold that if the entire chaticha liyona is above the rotev level, it's sitting on the shoulders of another chaticha, nesedes chaki levada im lo nir, in the absence of nir, only the top chaticha becomes asura. Now, Rabosai, I would add a footnote here, but I don't want to confuse you with myself, but there's something called kedei klipa. Are you familiar with that? Let's say I take two things that are hot and I attach them to each other. They rub shoulders. Or this, I'm showing it to you horizontally, but let's say vertically, right? So you have the top chaticha, which became asur because it received the tipas kala, and it's sitting on top of another chaticha. So what we need in such a case is called kedei netila. That even though there's no real nesinas tam, when two solid objects, even if they're both hot, touch each other, but there is a surface level contact in the Sinus Tam, which requires you to peel off a layer of bus. Okay, I'm just mentioning that on the side. I don't want to confuse you, but basically what the Ritva is talking about is that the second chaticha, and for sure all the other chatichas down in the bottom of this pot are all mutaros, according to Rashi. If the top chaticha that received the tipas chalav is above the rotev. But why does Rashi say And that's what the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ran say, that you don't need near here in Rav's frame of reference. It's because the top chaticha is partially submerged in the rotev, and the rotev now serves as that medium to bring the tam of the top chaticha into the kedera. And now, says Rav, it generates an iser with regard to all the chatichos basar in the kedera, and that's based on the fact that what min bimino lo bata. Rav accepts the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that in a tarobus of min bimino, that's basar and basar, there is no bittul, and even a mashu is enough to ask. Now he quotes a sefer called the Lev Aryeh, and the Lev Aryeh says the following: Divrei Rashi amurim bein bekula chutz larotev ubein bishechetzia mishuka barotev. In other words, the Lev Aryeh is arguing against the Taz. The Taz wants to make a fundamental distinction, according to Rashi, between kula chutz larotev or miktsasa shakua barotev, and the Lev Aryeh rejects that. And in both cases, the din is identical. Now, what does it mean the din is identical? Me'achar v'rashi kosav sherav pirishas ha-mishnah kedaito ulegavi adina omer v'mishnah she'atipa mispashetes b'chaticha levad v'lo b'kol ha-kedera is the Rashi din zeh omer bein kishachaticha michutz l'rotev ubein kishemektsasa shekua bo. In other words, when Rashi says that according to Rav in our Mishnah, that tipas cholav penetrates throughout the top chaticha, and it doesn't penetrate into the rest of the kedera, that applies even if the top chaticha is partially submerged in rotev. So it means that what the Lev Aryeh is telling us here is that since, according to Rashi, the relationship between the Tipas Cholav and the Tap Chaticha, in which the Tipas Cholav penetrates throughout that Chaticha and then contaminates that Chaticha, so to speak, applies even in a case where the Chaticha is partially submerged in the Rotev, it means that Rashi views the entire Chaticha as an entity unto itself, regardless of whether it's partially in the Rotev or completely out of the Rotev. In both cases, that Chaticha becomes Asura as a separate entity, which is called Chaticha Nasis Neveh. Now, leaving this on the side for a minute, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about Chaticha Nasis Neveh. What does Rav mean when he says Chaticha Nasis Neveh? So I have here a sefer called Mishmeres Moshe. We've mentioned this numerous times. And he says the following: Mevur Berishonim Shedin Chaticha Nasis Nevela Hu Da'oraisa. This is not a Takonis Chachamim or a Gzeres Rabbanon that we should consider the entire Chaticha to be a Chefta Disura. That's a Doraisa Halacha. And that applies to Basa Bechol. And he says the following: what the Rishonim debate, are you listening, Rabbi Olson? It's a very important point. The Rishonim are going to have a major controversy about the following question: does Chaticha Nasis Nevela apply only in the case of Basa Bechala or also in other Isurim? Let's take, for example, Nevela. So you cook a piece of nevela in a pot together with basar shchuta, with heter. Then you pull out the nevela. What's the status of the chatichos of basar shchuta that are left in the pot if there was no shishim? One way of saying it is that they are carriers, as I call it. They're carrying the tam of the nevela. The other way is to say it is that no, they themselves are transformed into the Vela. They become a Chefzid Isura. And again, the Nafkamina is going to be the following. Let's say one of the pieces of meat that became Asur now falls into a second mixture. Do I need Shishim Kenega, the original Nevela, or do I need Shishim Kenega, this piece of meat? So take, for example, if the Nevela was very small, right, its volume was very little, very limited, but the piece of meat in this Kedera was a very large piece of meat. Now this piece of meat falls into a second Kedera, in the second pot. Do I need shishim against the entire chaticha? That would be called chanan, which is Rashi Tevis for chaticha nas nevela. Or no, all I need is shishim against the nevela. And as we said, the original nevela that fell into this mixture, well, on the first mixture, was very limited in size. And it's much easier now to get shishim against that size in the second taros. So this is going to be a gigantic machlokas rishonim. And there are going to be three shitas. One sheet is going to say there is no chanan in other isurim. Chatichan has the veil that Rav presented here in our sugya and kufches is only limited to basa mecholah. Another sheet is going to say that chatichan has the veil applies in all isurim, not just to basa mecholah, and that's d'oraisa. And then we have a middle sheet that says that although chatichan has the veil only applies to basa mecholah, that's only d'oraisa, but mirabbanan. They prohibited chaticha nasis nevela in shari surim, and they require that you have shishim against that entire chaticha, which was really heter, but now became a shtik iser. So from the fact that the Rishonim debate whether or not chaticha nasis nevela in other isurim is doraiso or darabonon, that indicates that the implication is that in basa mecholah, the din of chaticha nasis nevela is d'oraisa. Now, the fact that basa mecholah chaticha nasis nevela is d'oraisa, I'll just mention a long list of rishonim over here. Tosfos on daf kuf ches amud beis, the Eshkol, and many, many other rishonim. There are rishonim. I don't even know who they are. That's the honest truth. He says it in the name of Rav Moshe Kaziz. They understand that chaticha nasis nevela is only derabbanon, even in the case of basa mecholah. And according to Rav Moshe Kaziz, we can actually derive this from the Rashba. You know, the Rashba wrote a super commentary on basa mecholah and tarovus, which is called the Torah Sabayis. And he reads into the Rashba that chaticha nasis nevela is only derabbanon, even in basa mecholah. Do you hear this? Basically, what I'm trying to present to you is that every single logical possibility you could come up with is feasible. You know,
four shittos, not three.
Right.
I'm sorry. My understanding of some of the basics of the halacha here are not bad. Practically speaking, what are the implications? Like, what's the difference?
Again, if you give me a piece of paper, I'll draw it for you. If I have a picture here, I'm going to use this here. Here, watch. Yeah, I'm going to do it like this. Okay. Now, watch what happens. I'm going to talk to you about chaticha nasis nevela b'shar isurim. Okay, and we'll apply the same logic to basa mecholah. So what you have here is nevela. Okay? Now, you have a piece of nevela that falls into a kedera. Okay, this is my fire under the kedera. And let's say that we multiply this nevela by 4. I'm just taking a number, right? So we have a ratio of 1 to 4. Clearly that's not 1 to 60.
What if you could identify the nevela and just take it out?
Irrelevant. Totally irrelevant. Because okay. We're holding now Tom Kiko Doraisa. So again, I don't want to confuse you, but even though he took out the nevela. Now, what's the status of these pieces? Obviously, they're all prohibited, right? Asuros. Why? Because there's no shishin. But how do I view each one of these katichos? Two possibilities. One possibility is to say what I call the carrier theory, which means in the Gemara's language is called machmas bilua. Bilua means the absorption. What happens is that each one of these pieces has absorbed a piece of nevela. All these pieces are basar shchuta. Shchuta means that's heter, correct? So you have the best shchita in the world, and all this meat is mutter, but now it has, within the fiber of the meat, there's a tam, some sort of abstract tam, of the nevela, because there was no shishim, there was no bittul. That's one way of learning it. That's called bilua. I call it a carrier, okay? The other way of learning it, which is called chaticha nasis nevela, means iser machmas atzma, which means that we take each one of these pieces of basa shchuta and we magically transform them into basa nevela. Why? Because each one of these pieces is carrying the tam of nevela. And if that tam penetrates throughout the chaticha, the entire chaticha becomes nevela. And here's your nafgemina. This is all the first pot. Okay, we'll call this pot number one. Okay? Now we get to pot number two. And what happens is, in pot number two, right, here's my fire, one of these pieces falls into an entire pot of heter, right? So we have all these pieces of heter, okay? And now one of these pieces from the first kedera, from the first mixture, falls into the second mixture. Will that penetrate into these chatichos and create iser? Well, let's analyze this. One way of looking at it was that chaticha itself, okay, we'll call it X, right? That X is only a carrier. It's only got a tam balua. All we have to do is get rid of that tam balua. So, for example, if let's say in this second kedera, you have a zillion pieces of meat, not like in the first case. So, just imagine had that original nevela fallen directly into the second kedera, it would be bata. And now, since we have a carrier, that carrier is bringing the original nevela into the second pot. But we have shishim in the second pot, right? We have 60 plus. So therefore, it's going to be bata. If, on the other hand, we're going to apply the other principle, which is called chaticha nasis nevela, which means that these pieces of meat are called iser machmas atzmo, then I'm going to need 60 in the second pot against this piece of meat. Even though that piece of meat in and of itself is mutter, it only has within it a tam of nevela. But nevertheless, if we apply this principle, chaticha nasis nevela, then the entire piece, through and through, every fiber becomes nevela. And therefore I'm going to need 60 times that piece of meat. Not 60 times the tom of the nevela that fell in on the first round. See if this picture makes any sense.
You said this was mutter? This is mutter?
Mutter means before the tarobas. What I'm saying is before the nevela, it's mutter. That's what I mean by mutter. Okay. Right?
And then there's still the issue of whether min bimino and whether you could even do batel b'shishim.
Well, that's it works like this. You see,
good question.
I don't want to confuse your mind, but when I say nevela, nevela, you're right, is basar, and therefore would be min bimino. But the halacha of min bimino below is lo batel only applies in a chefta di sura. If something is asar machmas bilua, then we don't apply the principle of min bimino in a batel. So when Rav postulates that chaticha nasis nevela, that gives him the springboard to apply the principle of min bimino lo batel. Mm-hmm. If Rav would have accepted that basar that has a tam of chalav in it is only asar machmas bilua, it's only a carrier as we call it, then we would not apply the principle of min bimino, because basically that piece of meat is not just a conduit to bring the chalav into the basar in the second mixture, and basar and chalav is min b'sheino mino. But once Rav has established in the first round that we have here an isar machmas atzmo, which is called chaticha nasis nevela, hence when it gets mixed up in the second tarobes, it becomes min bimino, because now the entire piece of meat is a chafetz disura. So it's one piece of meat of nevela. We don't call it nevela, we call it bas mechala, but it has the same identical status as nevela.
Is min bimino, is that universally accepted? Or
no, no, not at all. Not at all. Okay. That's Rav Shita, because Rav accepts Rav Yehuda. Well, that was the part of the Shia that we mentioned at the end of yesterday's Shia. Now, let's just understand what's going on over here. The Shita of the Rashba, according to this diuk, is that Chaticha Nasis Nevela, even in Basa Mechal, is only the Rabbana. Now, that's going to have a tremendous impact on Shari Surim. Why? Because the Rabbana came up with this Chumrah of Chaticha Nasis Nevela in the case of Basa Mechal. They never applied it to Shari Surim. And if you're going to tell me, well, everybody's going to get confused over here. You're going to tell me Chaticha Nasis Nevela in Bas Mechal, but in other Isurim it's not. You know, maybe they'll come to overlook the halacha of Chaticha Nasis Nevela in Bas Mechal. That's called a gzera l'gzera. Meaning, if Chaticha Nasis Nevela itself is only Darabbanon, there would be no need to go a step further and impose a Chaticha Nasis Nevela on Shari Isurim, on other Isurim like Nevela, Atu, meaning as a gzera, because of Basa Mechalot. That would be a gzera derabbanon, Atu a derabbanon. So remember, I mentioned to you before the possibility that we don't say Chaticha Nasis Nevela in Shari Surim at all. That would make a lot of sense according to this Rashba. Again, if the Diyuk and the Rashba is correct, that the Rashba is maintaining that even in Basa Mechalot, Chaticha Nasis Nevela is only derabbanon. Then he has another machlokas. And that is the following. Bidin Chaticha Nasis Nevela Beshar Isurim Nechleku Rishonim Mahu Mekoro Vitama. If we do apply Chaticha Nasis Nevela to other Isurim, what is the source and what is the reasoning for it? He says, according to Rov Rishonim, most of the Rishonim, he has Tosus, the Eshkol, the Ireim, the Ran, he goes on and on and on. That's what the Mereshis Moshe is great about. You know, it's an anthology. Kosvu, Shedin Chaticha Nasis Nevela Bishari Surim Hu Ach V'Rak Midrabbana. Okay, so now we're going to accept the sheet of Rov Rishonim, this long, impressive list of Rishonim, all of whom agree that Chaticha Nasis Nevela is only Derabbana in Shari Surim. And now we have a machlokis. Why did the Rabbanon establish Chaticha Nasis Nevela Bishar Isurim? So again, Rabbosai, the discussion that we're about to embark upon would not be relevant if you held that Chaticha Nasis Nevela is Da'oraisa in Shar Isurim, or in the other polar extreme, if there is no din of Chaticha Nasis Nevela at all in Shar Isurim. We're going now with the middle of the road shita, which is most of the Rishonim, that Chaticha Nasis Nevela applies to Shari Surim, but only Midrabbanan. And now we have three different explanations as to why the Rabbanan instituted Chaticha Nasis Nevela in Shari Surim. One school of thought, which is headed up by the Ran and the Prima Gadim later on, is that Gzera Atu Basa Bechol. If you're not going to apply Chaticha Nasis Nevela in other Isurim, people are not even going to realize that they have to apply the Chumrah of Chaticha Nasis Nevela in Basa Mechalov, and they're going to be lax about it, and we're going to lose this original Chaticha Nasis Nevela, real Makoy Chaticha Nasis Nevela of Basa Mechalov. So that's called the Gzera Atu Basa Mechalov. That's the first approach.
Now, that's still assumes that Hanan in Basar B'Chalav is direct.
Correct, is okay. Direct. Then we have the second approach. And that's a little bit more complicated. But I'm going to try to do the best I can. Just to attach a name to the second approach, it's the Sefer HaYireim. I don't know if you heard of him, Rebbe Elazar Mimetz. He was one of the Balei HaTosfos of Ashkenaz. And he writes the following. Me'achar shenikra shem iser ala chaticha im lo nishayer bekula osi lidei kilkul vi'af b'nevela gmura lo yisharu bekula. Now, I could read this to you 50 million times over and over again. It's all gibberish. I don't mean that literally, but I'm going to try to take a stab at it. And what I'm about to tell you is either gibberish, it's Berzon's invention, and it's not worth a dime, or this is really what the Urim had in mind. But it's just the best that I can do.
I'll read it again.
Me'achar denikra shem iser alachaticha. Im lo nishayer bekula osi lidei kilkul di af benevela gmura lo yisharu bekula. So point number one is that we're no longer talking about gzera atabasa b'cholof. We're now limited. We're in the local discussion about shari surim. Let's call it nevela. So we're not talking about basa b'cholof now. We're talking about why the rabbanan instituted chatichanas nevela in nevela itself. I think what's going on is the following. Eric, you asked me before, where is the nevela itself? And the answer I gave you is that we pulled out the nevela. The nevela had a big red X on it, and I pulled out the nevela. What's left in the mixture is the tam of nevela. Oh. Now, would it be possible... And again, what I'm about to tell you is totally wrong, but this is where the mistake could be. What's the word I wanted? Could be made, right? Would it be possible to present the following logic? Once I pull out the nevela, I don't need shishim against the nevela. I need shishim against the tam of nevela. So let's say, for example, the nevela was hovering over this chatich and I pulled it out. I don't need shishim against the entire piece of the nevela. All I need shishim against is that part of the nevela that penetrated into the kedera. So again, you and I may look at this mixture and each and every one of us will come to some different conclusion. Here's where Hanan is going to protect us. What do I mean? If we establish a principle called chaticha nasis nevela, what it means is that we always have to evaluate, we always have to estimate, in order to achieve bitul b'shishim, we have to evaluate the entire piece of basar. If you're not going to apply that principle of chanan, of chaticha nasis nevela in shari surim, says the Sefer Yireim, you're exposing yourself to a vulnerable, vulnerably dangerous situation, because even in the original mixture, he's not going to require shishim against the nevela. Why? Because let's say, for example, in the second mixture, right, when one of the pieces of heter fell into the second kedera, you're going to tell me, well, I only need shishim against the tam bolua. So somebody's going to go back to the first mixture and say, well, maybe I only need shishim against the tam bolua. Well, what do you mean tam bolua? A piece of nevela fell into this kedera. You're going to need shishim against the entire piece. Nay, I don't need shishim against the entire piece. I'm going to try to figure out, again, we're not sure exactly how I would do this, but if I would analyze the scenario, I'm going to try to figure out how much of this nevela actually got mixed into the kedera. And I'm going to come up with new calculations. And I'm going to look at this tarovus and say, you know what? We certainly have shishim against the nevela. But if we have a hardcore rule, an absolute rule that knows of no exception, that we always need shishim against the entire piece, then we're not going to come to make these mistakes.
Well, I probably would have come to make that mistake just on logic, because I'm thinking if I took out the piece, all that remains is the tam of that piece.
Correct. But the halacha is
even after you take
it out, tam ki'ika. You know, tam ki'ika means that the tam is considered like the original piece, even though I took it out.
But so even though I take the original piece out, I still have to have bakal b'shishim for that original piece, even though it's no longer
correct. There. Correct. Okay. And although in the second kedera, because we're holding now that in shari surim there is no din of chatich nas nevela on a doraisa level, in the second kedera I only need shishim against the original nevela. But if I'm going to do that, then people are going to mistakenly thinking that, you know what, in every situation of tarovus, let's be mishara, let's try to evaluate how much of this basa gave tam, but not that the entire basa gave tam. Then we have the third shita. The third shita is the tzlach. That's the note of Yehuda. And he says that Osa Chaticha Nisheres Beisura Shema Lo Yetze HaIsur Mimenu. And he's saying that what the Rabbanan are afraid of is that there may be situations in which the original tam of nevela that penetrated into in the first mixture into one of these chatichos would remain in that chaticha. Maybe it wasn't cooked properly. Maybe it wasn't cooked long enough. So you're going to tell me, well, I've got shishim in the second mixture against the original nevela that fell in. And therefore what? That tam of the original nevela is gone? Maybe it's not gone. So therefore we're always afraid that maybe, even though the shishim against the tam of the original nevela, it still didn't exit, so to speak, and penetrate into the mixture in such a way that tam was completely lost. Maybe the tam remained stuck. So if you give me back the diagram here, again, I'm not a great cartoonist here, but I think what the Nodav Yud is worried about is that when this chaticha falls into the second, if not for the din of Chanan, which means that it's only an Isur Machas Pilu, and all we need is shishim against the nevela that fell in, it could be that this nevela penetrated enough into the chaticha such that, despite the numbers here, you won't be able to be mevatel that nevela. Right. So let's say we give numbers here. Let's say in a scale of 1 to 10. Right. So let's say this nevela, we'll call it +3. Okay. We'll just give it a number. Right. This chaticha now has within it a +3, correct? Now, if let's say in this basar, right, let's say we have 180, plus 180 in the basar, the heter, in the second kadeir. So certainly I have 180, right? Certainly could be mevatel the +3, right? That's way, way beyond shishim. But, that's shishim, okay? But on the other hand, maybe this +3, meaning the time of the original nevela, is not going to get removed from this piece, what we called X. Right? It's still somehow. So therefore, if I apply the principle of Chanan, then I'm going to need shishim against this piece. So even if this piece is I gave the wrong numbers here. What's 1/3 of 80 is 60. Oh, so that's not too big, right? So let's say this is 60. So if I have 180, that's 3 times 60. I can be mevatel this, and therefore I'm absolutely guaranteed that there's no leftover time over here.
Well,
okay, maybe my numbers weren't so good.
So what's the 60? Because you're 3 times 60.
So again, what I'm trying to suggest is the following, that if you don't require shishim against this entire chaticha, then the fear is that even though there's a massive amount of basar, heter, the second kedera, keneged the original nevela, because the original nevela is very small. You remember I told you that it was a small piece of nevela. So nevertheless, somehow that nevela that penetrated into this, in the first Tarovus, into this chaticha, remains embedded in that chaticha. So that even though, according to the regulations and rules that apply to bittul, I certainly have enough here to be mevatel the original nevela, but nevertheless, I'm always afraid that this chaticha refuses to let go of that tam nevela. You know, somehow it gets trapped within the nevela. So the way of guaranteeing that I certainly have a bittul against the original tam nevela is by requiring shishim against this entire piece.
Okay. So in other words, if, let's say,
that's another
this piece. Is, you know, the piece that fell in is the size of, let's say, kazayit, and
right, a kazayit.
The piece that is in there in the first one is 4 kazayit, right? It's 4 times the size.
Yeah.
Then you'd have to nullify, you'd have to have 240
right.
In the next one, because with Chanan, essentially, what you're...
It's not enough to have 60.
Right, what you're really saying is this, essentially, it becomes its own new piece of nevela.
Well, you're right conceptually, but we're trying to explain why we call it that way. You know, you're right. That's exactly what we're saying, that it becomes its own nevela. But we're trying to answer the question, why? And we're assuming that Chatidon asks the veil according to Rav Rishon and is only Darabonim. Why would Darabonim have gone that far? So the Nogi Yudha is suggesting, because if you don't go that far, we're always afraid that maybe the Tam from the original Kizayis is somehow lingering even in the second Kedera, in that piece of meat that fell into the second Kedera. So in order to guarantee that that Tam is completely batel, we're going to require Shishim. That means, literally we said four, it's 240, like you said before, 240 Kizayisim against these four Zayisim. So again, just to review, there are three different approaches as to why the Rabbanan would have been motivated to apply Chanan extended to Shari Surim. One is, it's a Gzera Ata Bas V'Chola, and that seems to be a very, very popular understanding amongst the poskim. Then we had a very unique shita of the Urayim. And the Urayim is worried about a possibility that even in the Nevela itself, somebody's going to tell me, I don't need Shishim against the Nevela. Well, I need a Shishim against the impact of that Nevela in this Tarobos. And finally, we have the shita of the Tzlach. And he wants to assume that we're worried about the possibility that the Tam that's carried through that chaticha into the second tarobes might not, you know, might be very obstinate, you know, might not exit from that chaticha. Now, if we go back to the lashon of Rav, take a look at Rav again. Omar Rav, Kevon shenosan tam bechaticha, chaticha atzma nasis nevela, voseres kol chatichos kulon, vipnei shein mina. And keep in mind that there's a whole school of Rishonim, what we call Chachmei Sfarad, and they want to attribute this also to Rashi. They maintain that even without Niyar, even if you haven't mixed up the two, there's going to be a Tarovasi of the original Chaticha, the top Chaticha, with all the other Chatichos, and that's called Min B'mina. Omalei Mar Zutra Berei D'Rav Mori L'Ravina. Michti. Let's analyze this. Rav Kiman Omer L'Shmate. On whose shoulders is Rav standing? Meaning, if we translate this literally, did Rav say it according his sugya, his halacha, right? Shmaiti is a sugya, but it means halacha, according to whom? And the answer is, this was a rhetorical question, Ki Rabbi Yehuda, Di Omar, because Rabbi Yehuda says in many different sugyas in Shas, whether it's in Chulin, in Zvachim, in Avodah Zarah, in Achas, it's all over the place, Psachim as well, that min b'mina lo bata. Lema pligi ada Rava. In other words, Rava, now again, I'm not sure that Rava accepted Rabbi Yehuda l'alocha, that he paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, but he certainly spent a lot of time trying to analyze and define the parameters of Rabbi Yehuda's shita min b'mina lo bata. Kisav Rabbi Yehuda, Kol shehu davar acher, okay. Kol shehu min umino vidavar acher. So let's explain. If basar falls into basar, like the cases I drew here on this diagram, meat into meat, that's clearly your paradigm of min b'mino lo bata. But what happens if basar falls into basar plus davar acher? Something else that's in this mixture. So, in addition to these pieces of meat, there is also rotev. Rotev is already a liquid, that's already min b'sheino mino. So you now have a double header over here. Are you familiar with that phrase, a double header? Like in baseball, a double header? You have a double header here. You've got a taromas of min b'mino and a taromas of min b'sheino mino. Do you follow me? So the basar, which is asur, now falls into what? Does it fall into A or to B? Does it fall into the basar? And then we have min b'mino. Or does it fall into the rotev, which is min b'sheino mino? And there's a tremendous nafkamina. Because, watch what happens, Eric. If I'm going to look at this as basar falling into rotev, then it's bitter, because that's min b'sheino mino. Now let's assume, for argument's sake, there's enough in the rotev, in terms of its volume, to create shishim against the piece of meat. Now all the rotev becomes heter. Or shall I say remains heter, I should say, right? That would be a more accurate term. Now, what are you going to tell me? That all the pieces of meat become awesome because of bimbivino? No, that's not true anymore. Why? Because now I have a tarovus of bimbisheno mino, the rotev against the basar. And then again, I can apply bito. So Rava says, salekes mino kemisha eno. Now let's take all the basar in this kedera and just ignore it, you know, so to speak, neutralize it. Imagine that it doesn't exist. Visha'eno mino, Rava olavu mevatla. And let's look at the relationship between the piece of meat and the heter that's eno mino. We called it the rotev. And now everything remains mutter because there is bittel. Again, I'm always assuming that there's shishim. And now, if the iser is not going to generate an iser in the rotev, meaning in the she'eno mino, now we can take the she'eno mino and we could set up a tarovas here of min b'she'eno mino. So let me read to you his translation. He says the following. According to Rava, re'e es ha-heter she'bimino shel isur. In other words, the pieces of meat in this tarovas, kilu eno kayam. Again, obviously, we're working on a legal halachic level here. Make believe that the pieces of meat don't exist. Umidod es haheter she'eno mino. Let's calculate, evaluate the volume, determine the volume of the she'eno mino of heter. Ha'isur levado negin ha'isur. So we're going to take, just one sec, what does he mean? Umidod es haheter she'eno mino. Just one second, I didn't understand. Ha'isur levado neged ha'isur. So I'm not sure what those four words mean for a second here. We'll come back to this. So there's not enough of a volume of isur in relationship to the heter that's eno mino in order to create a tam, to generate a tam, is therefore mevatel hu es ha'isur. So the heter now is mevatel isur. So the rotev, which is heter, is going to be mevatel the piece of meat that's also, whether it's also b'toris nevela, whether it's also b'toris bas v'chol, whatever the case might be. So yesh b'kedera, in our case, rotev v'chatichos. We have a combination of both liquid and solid pieces of meat. The afsha achatichos mi min achatichos shenesrahim, even though if we isolate a relationship between chatichos bas and chatichos bas, we have min b'mino, but ha rotev eino mino. The kemon Sheba Mishnah Shaleh Omar Rav Dvar Medubar Sheyesh Berotev Harbe. Okay, that we have to see exactly how we know that there's enough of the rotev to have shishim against the original chaticha. Is there for kasha? We don't understand. Madua, why does Rav say that chaticha asar es kol hachatichos based on the principle of min b'mino? Hare hachaticha asur misbateles. That original chaticha was batel for rotev because that was a mixture of min b'she'eno mino, and there's enough of the she'eno mino of rotev to have shishim against the original, against the piece of meat. V'shuv ein yechol lesar shar chatichos. So that would Rav, in his acceptance of the shita of Yehuda, min b'mino eino batel, is he rejecting Rava's restriction or limitation of min b'mino eino batel? The principle of Salek es Mino. If Rav accepts Rava, namely Salek es Mino, then we don't understand Rav. Because how could Rav say that the Chaticha will now generate an Isur in the other Chatichos, Midin, Mashu of Min B'mino? Why not say Salek es Mino, Kimisha Eino, and then you can create a relationship between the basar and the she'eno mino, which is the rotev in this case, and assuming, which again we have to figure out why the Gemara assumes this, that there's enough in the rotev to be mevatel the basar, is then the basar becomes batel. And if the basar is batel, it's mutter, and therefore it doesn't generate any iser on all the other chatichos. So the Gemara basically says that it seems that Rav rejected Rav, which is possible that Rav could reject Rav.
What would Rav hold if it was just meat? It was just meat.
Yeah, that's min b'mino. Everything is us.
So then he'd say everything. So Rav would hold in that case everything's us, or.
Right.
Then why is that a problem? I mean,
because our Mishnah is talking about a case of a taroves, of a kedera, that has in it both basar and rotev. Right, that was the whole discussion that we had with where the piece of meat is above the rotev, below the rotev, partially above the rotev.
So we're talking about a place condition with the rotev.
And not only that, there's enough rotev to be mevatel that chaticha. Now again, we don't have time now, but Lee Nender, that's what I want to pick up with you tomorrow. There's an entire discussion here about how the Gemara assumed, why the Gemara assumed, that there's enough in the rotev to be mevatel the chatichas basar. Okay, I don't have the time for it now, so you'll have to accept my apologies on that. So let me wish everyone a great day, and I'll see you tomorrow. And we'll pick it up where we left off. Do we have a pencil here?
Here.
Oh, okay, great. I'll just make a note of where we got up to.
Hi, how are you?
For tomorrow. Okay. Yeah, here we
go. I have one question. When we're done with this.
Ooh, I have a question to you about the water heater. I keep putting it on. It got lost. Do you have any clue where we can find it?
No idea. Probably over the. Was it